Do you like blogs? Well, join the conversation.
Yeah, for years, you know, I didn't blog, and then all of a sudden I thought, you know, there are just certain subjects that are worth writing about and on. Engage, comment on jbsofiasblogspot.com. That's J-B-S-O-F-I-A-S, blog, B-L-O-G, .blogspot.com.
Welcome to Change by the Word. I'm your host, Blaine Booth, and you're listening to Dr. Bruce Sophia of the Gloucester County Community Church in Washington Township, New Jersey.
With every blessing God gives, He gives a curse. Eternal life is a blessing, but those who reject it receive eternal damnation. There's always the check and balance. That's the justice of an almighty God.
Today on Change by the Word, we continue our study in the book of Genesis with chapter 20. So, my friend, how does the Lord develop a person's character?
Well, we've entitled this God's Beautiful Woman, and not that again.
I love these titles.
I love selected titles. I work hard at it, and I think the Holy Spirit gives me some insight. So let's talk about chapter 20, shall we?
Sure.
This chapter is a short chapter in Genesis. It consists of only 17 verses, yet it raises two very important and relevant topics that we consider in the sermon. One is, why did Abraham tell a partial truth?
Right.
In a sense, people say he lied. He really didn't. He told the truth deceptively.
Okay.
All right. I mean, we can tell the truth and tell it as, in a sense, to deceive.
Well, I think of the midwife lie, you know, where Herod was coming to take these children's lives, and the midwives said, well, there are no children here. And they did that, and it was not viewed a lie by God because it was for protection of the children. So this would be similar.
Same with the midwives in Egypt. Remember, they said the Israelite women are not like the Egyptian women. They have their babies in a hurry.
That's right.
and the Lord honored their faith because it was an act of faith.
Right. And I believe this is the same thing with Abraham.
Yeah, but he gets rebuked.
Well,
and we're going to talk about that. But first, let's talk a little bit about why Abraham tells this partial truth. And then we're going to talk about beauty, the way the world sees it, the way God sees it. Mm-hmm. And by the way, God sees beauty, and we'll address this in the sermon. But when God references beauty, He references character.
Right.
He sees beauty, and He alludes to that. He speaks of it.
Right.
But when He summarizes a person's life, He doesn't summarize the physical. He summarizes what's inside of a person. All that's in this lesson. So let's start with, why did Abraham tell this partial truth? Sadly, it was about his own selfish concern. Verse 13. It also showed a lapse of faith in trusting El Shaddai as his protector.
Mm, yes.
I give an illustration of a family the husband of whom worked in, had a union job, and he was about to lose his job just because of the economy. And they had talked about discuss, well, maybe we're not going to be able to give the tithe and so forth. And they came to me and talked about it. And I said to them, that's your only canopy.
Right.
That's your only security. The reality is, who it is that for whom it is for whom it is you work is not your provision.
Right.
The reality is Gloucester County Community Church is not my provision. God's my provision.
That's right.
Now, right now, it's the provision by which I get a paycheck. Mm-hmm. But the reality is, if I wasn't here, God would find a way to give me a paycheck.
Sure.
He is my ultimate provider.
That's right.
Now, what I want to make sure that I do is not break my agreement with God.
Right.
So I encourage them to continue to tithe. This doesn't always happen. Sometimes a person loses their job. Sometimes they're out of work. They have to trust God. They look back on it and say, I don't know how we made it, but we did. But in this instance, they continued to tithe. God put him in another job. He made an additional $5 an hour. Everything that you could have ever asked for happened.
Right.
Because he trusted God.
That's right.
Abraham had this moment where he was trying to figure out a way in his mind that he could protect his own life. And sometimes that happens. We lose sight of who our true protector is. And it was all because of Sarah's beauty, by the way, which gives us the opportunity, as I said earlier, Blaine, to address this subject of beauty. You know, we live in this craze, bombarded by both religious and non-religious circles, that beauty is a number 10 body and a perfect face.
Right.
You know, the face that you're going to see on the cover of Vogue and the body that you're going to see on Harper or whatever. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, all you got to do is look at there's fit, there's shape, there's body form, firm believer, Diet Pepsi with one small calorie, even wholesome milk has fallen prey. You know, it's not about milk. It's about who promotes the milk.
All the weight loss programs.
Yeah. And you've got Elaine Powers and with Victoria Principal. This was way back when I did this sermon. And it was all about beauty is what you look like. How off target is that?
Yeah, it's, well, in the eyes of God, that's,
yeah,
that's a portion of what he's looking at in beauty. That's right.
And, you know, so you have a whole generation of young girls. For some reason or other, men get away with it. It's not the same thing. But for the women and the girls that feel like I have to look like that person on the cover, who doesn't look like that anyway.
Right.
They've been photoshopped and airbrushed and toned and everything else, you know. Thank God for the models who today say, you're not going to do that to me.
That's
this
right.
is who I am.
That's right.
And although God notices a beauty, remember, he says of Tamar, she was an Absalom, that he was the most beautiful man, the most handsome man in all of Israel, and there was no defect found in him. Said the same thing of his sister, Tamar, which tells you something about his mother.
Yeah, and his father.
And David, King
right.
David.
Yeah.
The DNA would produce two children that were the most beautiful children in all of the land. However, although God notices beauty, he doesn't reward it. He rewards character. And we see that in Proverbs chapter 31. We see that when God comes back to Sarah. Now remember, Scripture clearly says she was gorgeous. I mean, she's up there in her age.
Right.
And Abimelech, the Philistine king, takes her into his harem because she's so beautiful. But when God comes back to her in the New Testament, he does not reference her beauty, her physical beauty. He references her character. And if you remember, he says that her beauty was in her attitude towards Abraham,
right,
that she called him master.
Yep.
I'm still waiting for my wife. I tell you're not quite Sarah yet, honey. I'm still waiting for that. Called him master. She says, well, don't worry, hon. You'll never hear it.
Yeah.
But God, and so that's what we develop in this chapter. And then we come back to the fact that Abraham had to eventually realize that he didn't need to lie about his wife. He could say, she is my wife, understanding that God was bigger than his circumstance.
That's right.
He didn't have to conjure up some sort of way to think he was going to protect himself. God was his protection. And he gets there in verses 9 and 10 of this chapter when he's shamefully rebuked by a heathen. You know, he says, why didn't you tell me the truth?
Right.
I think I've told this illustration before. We'll close with this, Blaine. I was in going to Appalachian State University at the time. Well, we pronounced it Appalachian because we were a poverty-stricken school, you know. Yeah. You think of the Appalachian Mountains and right. those who are poor in that region. Anyway, I had an apartment I rented off of one of the art professors. And I had a friend who would ask me if for the key to the apartment. He would take his girlfriend there. Huh. And I suspected their behavior was not what it should be. And I remember I'm walking on the campus and some guy comes up to me and he says, hey, Sophia, I heard you're running a house of ill repute. I says, what? He says, yeah, you gave so-and-so your key so he could take his girlfriend there. I didn't do that after that. I was rebuked by a heathen. Because, you know, I like the guy, and you know how you justify in your own mind, he's going to behave. And you know in the back of your mind, he's not behaving.
He's capable.
And just like Abraham was rebuked by a heathen, I was rebuked by a person who wasn't a Christian and let you know they weren't a Christian. And that was the end of that, man. Yeah. Just like Abraham changed his story, no more keys were given out. For that'll, people to use my apartment.
That'll straighten you right out.
Yeah. So I guess we all have those moments when we think this is the way to handle it. In the back of our mind, we know maybe we shouldn't. Rather than just really say, God, what would you do if you were in my place?
Right.
Maybe we don't want to hear what God would do if he was in our place.
Well, if we're asking it, we're going to get an answer.
Yeah, like because we're not going to like it.
That's right.
Anyway, great chapter. Short, but two powerful lessons. We don't have to conjure up a way to think, this is how I protect myself. God is your protector. And number two, beauty. Although God recognizes physical beauty, ultimately, when we stand before him, it's going to come back to who we are and what is our character.
Let's continue our study series in the book of Genesis. Here's our teacher, Bruce Sophia.
Chapter 20. Now Abraham moved on from there into the region of Negev and lived between Kadesh and Shur. And for a while he stayed in Gerar. And there Abraham said to his wife Sarah, she is my sister. And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent for Sarah and took her. But God came to Abimelech in a dream one night and said to him, you are as good as dead because of the woman you have taken. She is a married woman. Now that says something, doesn't it? Abimelech is a Philistine king, a heathen king, and yet God speaks to him. God doesn't speak to believers only. Nebuchadnezzar had a god, and God had a dream, and God was speaking to Nebuchadnezzar through the dream. God speaks to people, period, believers and non-believers alike. Now Abimelech had not gone near her, so he said, Lord, will you destroy an innocent nation? Did he not say to me, she is my sister? And didn't she also say, he is my brother? Why, I have done this with a clear conscience and clean hands. And then God said to him in the dream, this is a dream. God speaking in the dream. And God speaks, and now Abimelech in his dream speaks back to God. Have you ever done that? Feel like that your conscience, or that inner voice is speaking to you and you speak, you return the speaking, you speak back. Well, here's what's happening here. It's in a dream. He's seeing it. He says, yes, I know you did this with a clear conscience, and so I have kept you from sinning against me. I have kept you from sinning against me because I know your conscience was clear. Your motive was pure. So I've protected you, Abimelech. Yeah, you a non-believer. You a heathen. Now return the man's wife, for he is a prophet, and he will pray for you, and you will live. But if you do not return her, you will be sure that you and all yours will die. With every blessing God gives, he gives a curse. Eternal life is a blessing, but those who reject it receive eternal damnation. There's always the check and balance. That's the justice of an almighty God. There's day and there's night. There's righteousness and there's wickedness. And early the next morning, Abimelech summoned all his officials, and when he told them all that had happened, they were very, very much afraid. Listen, better to fear God than to fear men. It says something about these heathen people. They feared God, the God of Abraham, which says something about the God of Abraham and Abraham himself. And then Abimelech called Abraham in and said, what have you done to us? How have I wronged you that you have brought such great guilt upon me and my kingdom? You have done things to me that should not be done. And Abimelech asked Abraham, what was your reason for doing this? And last week we read that, so I won't read it this morning. But then Abimelech brought sheep and cattle and male and female slaves and gave them to Abraham. And he returned Sarah, his wife, to him. And Abimelech said, my land is before you, wherever you like. And last week, the study, God's beautiful woman, and why Abraham did what he did was because of Sarah's beauty. And we looked at God's final comment about Sarah and what he said her beauty was. And I think that's not because this pastor brought the sermon, but I believe it's a tape, it's a sermon that every woman should have in her library. What God considers a beautiful woman. Last week's Sunday morning sermon. And Abimelech brought sheep. I read that. Now to Sarah he said, I am giving your brother 1,000 shekels of silver. And this is to cover the offense against you before all who are with you. You are completely vindicated. In other words, Sarah, you're vindicated. And then Abraham prayed to God, and God healed Abimelech. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, this is thy word. It is an absolute in an ever-changing world. It remains sure. And though the heavens and earth may pass away, thy word is fixed forever. And not one dot, no, not one crossing of the T shall pass away, for it is Jesus Christ in written form. And we thank you that he became flesh, and we ask that this morning you would speak to us through thy word. Amen. Now, I've entitled this sermon, Not That Again. Oh, Not That Again. That's the title. Now, it was actually the title of last week's sermon, but we never got to that point. We just stayed on the first point. So I'm actually, for the first time since I've walked in this pulpit, I had a sermon done a week ahead of time. I had to brush up on it. I added a little bit here and there, but that's it. Not that again. Now, as mentioned, we again see Abraham committing the same type of sin he committed earlier in his life in Egypt, Genesis chapter 12. And you remember what that sin was. He lied about his wife, said she was his sister. Pharaoh took her, just as Abimelech did here. The same thing happened because of his lie. The only difference was this time, when he went to Egypt, Hagar came out of that. Has plagued the Israelites to this day, that sin. That's why we know it wasn't under God's direction. Now, because he has repeated this thing, it says something about three people. It says something about God. It says something about man, Abraham. And it says something about Satan, about God. It says that he may not always remove the area where you are weak. Abraham was weak in this area. We discussed that last week. He was weak in the sense that he didn't have faith that God would protect his life. It was a weakness. It was a lapse in his faith, as great a man in faith as he was. And God never removed that. Some people come to Christ, and they come, and they have a bad temper. And the day they give their life to Christ, the temper goes. And other people, it never goes. They struggle with it all of their life.
So for those of you who have yet to receive Christ, you know, it could be no fault of your own.
Yeah.
You know, you grew up in a church and nobody ever said, hey, there had to be a time when you had to personalize your faith, where you had to receive Christ for the forgiveness of sin. I remember Florence Littower saying, I went to church on my life and never heard that I had to receive Jesus, as my personal Lord and Savior. So I didn't even know if I understood that I needed to receive him for my sins. I knew I was a sinner, but I just thought that if I lived a good enough life, that would cover my bases.
Right.
So I don't know what denomination you come from, but Scripture's clear. There's none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And yet there's a remedy. Believe the truth about the remedy. But God demonstrates his love towards us, Romans 5:8, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Understand that when we receive Christ, therefore now is there no condemnation to those who are in him, Romans 8:1. I would say this throughout the prison. Guess what? You don't have to be held in bondage. You can have freedom inside these walls. Therefore is there now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And for those listening, you know, that sentence of sin doesn't have to be stamped upon you. You can be stamped pardon. See, commit your life to his righteousness. Say, I'll be a follower of Christ. Does it mean you're going to be perfect? No, but I'll tell you what it does mean. You know who your daddy is.
Amen.
And when you sin, you feel absolutely awful, miserable, because you know that what you're doing is grieving your dad.
That's right.
And that's how you know you belong. So for those of you who have yet to receive Christ, pray this prayer with me. Just say, Father in heaven, thank you for loving me. Forgive me for the things I've done that are wrong. I confess to you that I'm a sinner. Jesus, come into my heart. I give you my life. Be my Lord and Savior. Amen. Now, Blaine, what do they do?
Well, Bruce, what they should do is this. Call us toll-free at 1-800-CHANGED. That's 1-800-242-6433 and request our ABC pamphlet. It's a free gift for those of you who prayed with Pastor Bruce, and it addresses some of the questions about salvation and suggestions of what to do next, like reading God's Word, attending church, and fellowship with Christian friends. You can also get a copy at cbtw.org. On our website, you can also find other resources to help you grow in your walk with Christ and how to support Changed by the Word. Your prayers and financial support enable us to share the good news of Jesus Christ in our community and all around the world, including nations like Nigeria, China, and Singapore, just to mention a few. And blessings like that only happen from the prayers and sacrificial gifts of our Changed by the Word Good Sam partners. Those of you who have been blessed by Changed by the Word and believe its message is worth sharing in other cities and countries, consider partnering financially with us. Go to www.cbtw.org and click on the Support CBTW icon in the top toolbar, or call us at 1-800-CHANGED. That's 1-800-242-6433 and join our Good Samaritan team. Join us tomorrow right here at Changed by the Word. The never-changing truth in an ever-changing world.
How does one know when sex is telling the truth? I'm Bruce Sophia, here to tell you about my latest powerful pocket-sized book, Love, Lust, and Lies. In this book, we explore what truly makes for meaningful and lasting relationships. Pre-order your copy today and receive 29% off the retail price. Call 1-855-455-7728
or visit hijacklife.com.